good to us, so good to us. He loves us and cares about us so much. You know, and the enemy wants nothing but to kill and destroy. That's what he comes to do. And then a family, wow. Well, we're getting back. We had a week off. We did Shavuot. And now we're here on getting back on the Beatitudes. We just finished with the poor in spirit, the mourning, meekness, hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that was the root. That was the root. Now we get into the fruit. And the fruit is you're going to be dealing with people. And we said this was automatic. Once you get this, this will be automatic. But this is going to be it's going to be trying some. It's going to be tough. You say, how? Because you're dealing with people. First of all, you're dealing with people. You say, well, I can ace these. Well, let's just read and let's see what I have tonight. And then, next week when we come back Sunday, let's see who can say that, dawg, that was a breeze. Merciful, being pure in heart. Oh, we can do that. But let's go on. The Beatitudes are describing, remember, they're describing the distinguishing marks of a Christian. Christ is not telling us how to become a Christian. He's telling us how to identify who is a Christian by these Beatitudes. And we're swinging on to ring five. Oh, I got to sign in. Sorry. Ring five says, blessed are the merciful. We're going to do two tonight. I'm going to tackle merciful and pure in heart. So we're on ring five. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is Christ calling us to? What does it mean to be merciful? Well, let's look at a story in the Bible, in that Luke 10:33-37, and it's the one about the Good Samaritan. And Yeshua answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. Notice who came down, a certain priest. You would think a believer, a priest, that he would have that mercy, huh? And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So two people then came by. A priest and a Levite then passed by this Samaritan that they done beat up. And he's wounded and he's laying there, left him there for dead. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had compassion. He had mercy. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out two pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Notice the Good Samaritan, what he did. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Yeshua unto him, go and do thou likewise. He asked the question, who do you think showed the mercy? The priest should have been the one, the first one to arrive upon the scene. You would have think that he would have been the one to did what the Samaritan did. But no, he jumped completely over on the other side. But a Samaritan. Now, not only did he He bent down, he stooped down and poured oil and wine on his wounds and put him on his beast. He took him to the inn and he left money and said, whatever, use this up. And whatever, if you go over, I'll be back and I will repay you. And what Yeshua says, go. He's telling us, go and do. This is, he's telling him that, and he's telling us that today too. Go and do thou likewise. The Samaritan did not deal with the cause of the man's need by chasing the robbers, and he did not complain about the failure of society to meet the man's need. Us, you know, that would be the first thing we would want to say, why? Why are they not doing it? You know, we want to chase the robbers. We want prosecute them, get them. The Samaritan addressed it, the immediate need set before him, and did what he could to bring relief. Wow. He addressed it, the immediate need. Mercy is a tender heart that cares and acts for the good of others. Mercy is a tender heart that cares and acts for the good of others. Mercy, that's a two component parts, a tender heart, compassion. Out of this tender heart, there is action that flows. He went to him, bound up his wounds, and poured oil and wine. And that's what Yeshua showed to us. He shows compassion to us out of his tender heart. Mercy is the character of Elohim. Mercy is the character of Elohim. Listen to these characters. Elohim is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love. Wow. Huh? You think that we might need to grab hold of some of this character, some of this mercy, grabbing hold of that ring to have that merciful and be slow to anger? This is challenging. This is challenging. These four right here is going to be challenging. Exodus 34, 6 through 7, Psalms 86, 15, Psalms 103, 1 through 12, Psalms 145, 8 through 9, and Joel 2, 12 through 13, and Jonah 4, 2. Let's look at some of these characters that the Father has. Exodus 34, 6 through 7. And Yahweh passed by before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh El, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgressions of sin, upon giving mercy to thousands. Psalms 86, 15, but thou, O Yahweh, art El, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalms 103, 1 through 12. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For who giveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Yahweh executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plentiness in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Thank God, huh? that he will not always chide, and neither will he keep his anger forever. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He had every right to. He didn't have to do none of this. Dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far had he removed our transgressions from us. Elohim has a tender heart of care towards us. He has compassion, and he's always acting towards the good of us. Psalms 145, 8 through 9. Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Yahweh is good to all, and his tender mercies over all and his works. He's good to all. Jonah 2, 12 through 13. Therefore, also now, saith Yahweh, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto Yahweh your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. Jonah 4:2. And he prayed unto Yahweh and said, I pray thee, O Yahweh, was not this my saying? Remember, we just went through this teaching. When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious El and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So powerful, these verses. Can you see his character? I want that character. I don't know about y'all, but that's the character I want. That's the character we should strive for daily. Titus 3, 3 through 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of Elohim, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Yeshua, Messiah, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. But Yahweh, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Messiah. By grace ye are saved. Not only is just he's merciful, he's rich in mercy, the scripture says. Yeshua, a merciful high priest. Hebrews 2:17 and Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Yeshua is a merciful high priest. Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to Elohim, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He was made unto his brethren. He was tempted just in all aspects of life, just like we are tempted, to be made like his brethren. But yet he's a merciful and high priest in things pertaining to Elohim, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for the sins of us. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua, the son of Elohim, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You think anybody else could have preached this message on the Sermon on the Mountain? There's nobody else, no preacher, no prophet. Because he was the only one that was yet without sin, the only one. And he's telling us what he's calling us to, obtain mercy. Mercy is Elohim's calling to us. What does Yahweh require of us? And look at Micah 6:8. What does Yahweh require of us? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doeth Yahweh require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy Elohim. What does he require of us? To love mercy, to love it, to go after it and get all that you can, and to walk humbly before him. 7 opportunities to exercise mercy. 7. Think about that. So this week, just go back through your notes and look at these 7 opportunities to exercise mercy. Number 1, practice mercy in material needs. 1 John 3:17-8. Practice mercy in material needs. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of Elohim in him? Think about that. If you can help someone, if you got the means to help someone, and I'm not saying, you know, spend your last dollar, or just someone who really needs it. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That was number 1. It's just a scripture that go along with each one of these. Number 2, spiritual struggles. Think about that, spiritual struggles. Elohim calls us to have a tender heart towards brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling in their faith. Have mercy on those who doubt. Have mercy on those who doubt. Struggling, our brothers and sisters, don't be so quick to, you know, to judge them. That's what he's saying. Don't be so quick to judge them. Have a tender heart towards them. Because listen, where we was at one point of time in our life, what Elohim could have did to us, but what he did, he showed us tender mercy, having compassion on us, not just one time, over and over and over again. And he's telling us to do the same things with our sisters, brothers and sisters in Christ. Jude 1. I don't think I have. I think I have to turn to it. Yep. Jude 1. It says Jude 1, verse 1. It says, Jude, the servant of Yeshua, Messiah, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by Yahweh, the Father, and preserved in Yeshua, Messiah, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend, for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Remember, they're dealing with doubt. For there are certain men crept in unawareness who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, wicked men turning the grace of our Elohim into lasciviousness and denying the only sovereign Yahweh and our master Yeshua Messiah. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that Yahweh, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe it not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bringing against him a railing accusation, but said, Yahweh rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally. As brute beasts in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward and perish in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds, they are without water, carried about of wind trees, whose fruit wherewith, without fruit, twice did, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. Behold, Yahweh cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are wicked among them of all their wicked deeds which they have unrighteously committed, and of all their hard speeches which wicked sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurs, complainers, walking after their own lusts. In their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our master Yeshua Messiah. Remember the words. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time and should walk after their own wicked lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of Yahweh, looking for the mercy of our Master Yeshua Messiah unto eternal life. Key verse 22. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. Some having compassion, making a difference. Warren Wiersbe, in an interview, this is a guy in an interview, I think he's from England, if I'm not mistaken, stated if he could have his time over again, he would do more to encourage God's people. He would do more to encourage God's people. Number three, embarrassing failures. You know, you might get around a brother or sister who might have slipped up. And, you know, it's embarrassing to them. Should be, if it's not anyway, it should be embarrassing to them if you're around, when they're around you. But what it says for us to do, love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8-11. Brother Herman mentioned this to me the other day about this, how love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. Go back. Some things should not be covered over. Peter speaks about sins. not crimes. And there's an important difference. But there are multitudes of sins a merciful person will be glad to cover over. A merciful person will be glad to cover over. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of Elohim. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of Elohim. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which Elohim giveth, that Elohim in all things may be glorified. Who? Elohim be glorified through Yeshua Messiah, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. C.H. Spurgeon says, I recommend you, brothers and sisters, always to have one blind eye and one deaf ear. And let's see what he's trying to tell us right here about that one blind eye, one deaf ear. Notice it's only one. In this sinful world, you need to have one eye that sees and one ear that hears. And then C.H. Spurgeon also says, my blind eye is the best eye that I have, and my deaf ear is the best ear that I have. Think about that. A hard heart always make a big deal of another person's failure. Got to have that one blind eye, that one deaf ear. But a tender heart, a merciful heart, often uses that blind eye and that deaf ear. Elohim does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He is merciful, and his love covers over a multitude of sins. Slanderous gossip. Number four. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That blind eye and that deaf ear. Think on these things. Don't be so quick to lash out at them if they slipped up. They're struggling. Spiritually, Satan is the father of lies. He is always manufacturing rumors that would make a person think less of someone who is their brother or sister in Christ. Scripture tells us he comes to sow discord among the brothers and sisters. He's the father of lies, always manufacturing rumors. Remember this powerful statement. It is as bad to believe a lie as it is as to tell one. It is as bad to repeat a lie as it is to invent one. There is a harshness in our culture, and too often it is creeping into the church, that is quick to believe the worst about a person and slow to think the best. So true. So true. Quick. So quick. And notice, not where it creeps at, in the church. It's creeping into the church often. It is so easy to slide into making much of other people's failings and little of their strengths and virtues. A merciful person goes the other way. He or she will make more of a person's virtues than their failings. That's what a merciful person does. A merciful person will close his ears to slander unless he is compelled to do otherwise. It's so easy to talk about somebody else's shortcomings. Thomas Watson quotes, "A man's name is worth more than his goods. And he that takes away the good name of another sins more than if he had taken the corn out of his field or the goods out of his shop." Think about that. A man's name is worth more than his good. And that's so true. So true. The receiver of golden goods is as bad as a thief. We must not only raise a false report, but not take it up. You who take away the good name of another, wound him in that which is most dear to him. Better take away a man's life than his name. It is an irreparable injury. Something will remain. Number five, unreasonable expectations. Psalms 103:14. "For he knoweth our frame. He remember that we are dust." And as a merciful person, we need to remember that people are dust. Don't set no big expectations on people. "I must remember this in relation to others. I must not set unreasonable expectations of my spouse, my children, or of others who work with me. I must learn not to be surprised by discouragements and disappointments." Not to be surprised by that. "I must get beyond thinking that a person will be a consistent paragon of virtue simply because he or she is a Christian. I must think more about the weights." Listen to this. "I must think more about the weights and burdens others may carry and the strength of temptations they may face." You never know what somebody's going through. You never know what they're dealing with. Be sensitive to that. "I must remember, as Elohim remembers about me, that they are dust." Personal injuries. Number six, personal injuries. Ephesians 4:31-32. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh for Messiah sake have forgiven you." Be tenderhearted. Be quick to forgive. Don't hold a grudge. If someone has hurt you, injured you, or wronged you in some way, don't be surprised if at some point God puts you in a position when you have the opportunity to get your own back. And we've seen that in the story of Joseph. You know, in that Genesis, I think it's chapter 38. It's starting with 38. You just go read that story. No, he was put through it. Sold by his brothers. He was hurt. He was hurt, injured in all the wrong way. And then not just by family, by his brothers . But what did he do? You know, we've seen he got promoted. That's what happened to Joseph. His brothers wronged him terribly, but God blessed him. He became the prime minister of Egypt, next to Pharaoh himself. One day, the brothers needed food, and they came to Egypt. And Joseph had them in his power. He had the power to do whatever he wanted to them. He could have threw them in the jail, and wouldn't have blinked an eye. Nobody would have questioned it, because he had that power to do that. But what did he do? "Now, what you do at this moment will be the most revealing thing about you." Joseph forgave his brothers. That's what mercy does. Mercy forgives. Number seven, lost souls. Remember, this is exercises for this week. So it's giving y'all some homework. Jude 1:23, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Lost souls, helping them. If you have mercy in your heart, you will speak to the Father about lost people. and you will speak to lost people about Yeshua. If you have mercy, you will speak to the Father. You will go to the Father on their behalf. You will call out their name. And then you will share the gospel with them. Augustine said, if I weep for the body from which the soul departed, how should I weep for the soul from which God is departed? Wow. If you're going to cry over a body for where the soul departed, how much more should we cry over when God leaves them? Because there's hope. If they're still alive, there's hope. But when God departs them, a tender heart that cares and acts for the good of others will care deeply about people, will care deeply about people without Christ, and will act by sharing the good news of the gospel with them. That's what a tender heart does. His mercy is not for a moment, but for a lifetime. Lamentations 3:22-23. His mercy is not for a moment, but for a lifetime. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of Yahweh's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions fail not. Every morning is new. Psalms 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Mercy is getting down on your hands and knees and doing something to restore dignity to someone whose life has been broken by sin. That's what mercy does. Mercy is you humbling yourself, getting down on your hands and knees, and restoring dignity to someone whose life has been broken by sin. See how challenging this is going to be? This is going to be challenging. All right, now we're swinging on to ring six. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. Think about that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. You know, you get to that, you know, you can, when we're at poor in spirit and you mourn and you say, that's where I'm at. I'm poor in spirit and I'm mourning. You can, but when you see this, who's going to say, oh, I got that. I'm pure in heart. I'm not going to say that. Who's going to say I'm pure in heart? For they shall see Elohim. Matthew 5:8. What is purity of heart? Purity of heart does not mean you never have a bad thought. Think about that. That's purity of heart. Don't mean that you're not going to never have a bad thought. You're going to have them. It's just you're human. What you do with it, do you dwell on it? Or do you take it captive right then and there? That's the key to it. It's not that you're never going to have it. You're going to have them. Purity of heart does not mean sinlessness of life. Then what does it mean? What does it mean to be purity of heart? Two things. A heart that is undivided and a heart that is clean. A heart that is undivided and a heart that is clean. A divided heart is you're going two different ways. Undivided heart is you got a straight sight. You got your eyes on one thing. That's the undivided heart. The blessing of an undivided heart. Number one, the blessing of an undivided heart. Blessed is the man or woman whose heart is undivided. Matthew 6:22. Whose heart is undivided. Yeshua returns to this theme later on in the Sermon on the Mountain. And we see that in Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. A single eye. Purity of heart is to will one thing. And this is a title of a book. I forgot, man, I didn't put the man's name who wrote this. But he titled this book, The Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing. 1 Kings 18:21. And this is Elijah at Mount Carmel. He told Obadiah to call his sovereign Ahab. And listen to what he's telling them. He says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If ye be with Elohim, follow him. But if with Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. How long will you halt between two opinions? How long are you going to continue to toy around with the same sins? How long are you going to continue to toy around with the same sins? James 4:7-10. James 4:7-10. Submit yourselves, therefore, to Elohim. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to Elohim, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Paul gives us a commentary on purity of heart. Philippians 3:13-14. Philippians 3:13-14. Not as though I had already obtained. Notice, he's telling them, I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Messiah Yeshua. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Yahweh and Messiah Yeshua. Paul said, I'm not there yet. There's work I got to do, but I strive for that. I strive for that purity in heart. Purity of heart is not perfection. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Purity of heart is to will one thing. One thing I do, I press on to take hold of the high calling for which Yeshua took hold of me. That's what purity of heart is, to will one thing. That's what to will one thing, to press on and take hold of that high calling for which Yeshua took hold of me. When Yeshua says, blessed are the pure in heart, he is saying, blessed is the person whose heart is undivided. That's what he's saying when he says, blessed are the pure in heart. You have one heart. It's not divided. We're not going two ways. My eyes are set on him and him alone. Psalms 86:11-12. Teach me thy way, O Yahweh. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Yahweh, my Elohim, with all my heart. You can't praise him with all your heart if your heart is divided. You got to have that undivided heart to praise him with all your heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. The blessing of a clean heart. The blessing of a clean heart. When you believe in Yeshua, faith forms the bond of a living union in which Yeshua becomes yours and you become his. You are his and he is in you. There's gifts that become yours through faith in Yeshua. Three priceless gifts: justification, forgiveness, and cleansing. Three priceless gifts. Justification, number one. Justification in Yeshua Elohim drops all charges against you. Drops all charges against you. I wish that none of perish. The reason that you will enter eternal life is not that you are without sin, because none of us ever is. The reason that believers enter eternal life is that Elohim does not charge their sins against them. Why? Elohim charges our sins to the account of Yeshua. Praise God. He charges all on his son, in whom these sins were judged, punished, and atoned for through his sacrifice as our sin barrier on the cross. Every sin we sin was charged to his account. How awesome is that? Huh? You didn't have to pay not one thing. It was given for you. It was paid. The whole price was paid for you. Isaiah 53, 3 through 8. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Elohim and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh had laid on him the iniquity of us all. You heard that? All of us was like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but yet he still sent his son. And Yahweh had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He called us his people even though we was in transgressions. For the transgressions of my people. In Yeshua, our debt has been paid in full, so that it will not and cannot be charged to us on the last day. That is the spectacular truth of justification. Romans 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with Elohim through our Master Yeshua Messiah, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of Elohim. Number two, forgiveness in Yeshua Elohim reconciles you to himself. In Yeshua Elohim reconciles you to himself. When Elohim justifies, he also forgives and reconciles us to himself in Yeshua HaMashiach. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. He never does one without the other. This is a spectacular blessing. Think about it. You were an enemy of Elohim. Now he makes you his. He was an enemy, but now he makes us his. Romans 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man be in Messiah, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of Yahweh, who have reconciled us to himself by Yeshua Messiah, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that Yahweh was in Messiah, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Messiah, as though Yahweh did beseech you by us. We pray you in Messiah's stead, be ye reconciled to Elohim, for he had made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Yahweh in him. Number three is cleansing. In Yeshua, Elohim washes your heart and your life. Titus 3, 4 through 7. But after that, the kindness and love of Elohim, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. He cleanses us, which he shed on us abundantly through Yeshua Messiah, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. And that was all I had. But this, like I said, this was going to be so challenging because you're going to be dealing with people. But he calls us. He calls us and he says, blessed are the merciful. For they shall obtain mercy. And pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. Blessed are the pure in heart. Think about that. Think about those statements that was read. They're powerful. They really, really are powerful. But we are definitely on our way to finishing up our Beatitudes. Pastor has two of them tomorrow. And it's not when you're going to fall. It's not if you're going to fall, it's when. So, but what do? You go back. You have to go back to the beginning. You can't jump back up and grab the same, I fell off on merciful. Somebody got underneath my skin today. You know, I didn't show compassion like I should have. What you do, you go back and you get that momentum and you just start swinging until you grab it and you hold on to it. And you grab merciful and you grab pure in heart with everything that is in you. Seek it with everything that is in you. Grab all of it. Don't leave nothing. So thank y'all for tonight, for coming out. Any prayer requests? Or besides, let's not forget Pastor David and Sister Rhonda and that missionary family that they're going, spend time with and, being an encouragement to them because they're going to need it. And let's pray for them because they're going to need it. You think about what just happened, what the enemy did. He took a life, a believer's life. Imagine that. Wow. Huh? So let's be in prayer for them. Let's not forget them. Let's keep them on our minds and in our hearts, and lift them up because they're going to need it in this time, especially the dad. Think about that when he comes